Chapter 18. Long Live the Confederation. Finn and the rest of the world remained unaware of the Lotus Patriarch's vendetta. He actually remained in the deepest sleep of his life. While he slumbered, the world panicked. Suicides and impregnations skyrocketed. Religious attendance surged, and scientists struggled to find explanations for what had happened. Criminals took advantage of the chaos, humanity causing more damage than the wave itself. And half the world didn't believe it had happened at all. As more people, keyboard warriors and armchair experts, took to the Great Link to share their truth, even more people began to doubt that the wave had even occurred. Governments around the world panicked and started checking defenses, theirs, their enemies, and especially their friends. It was the Special Olympics of worldwide governmental overreaction. Predictably, it accomplished nothing but pain and confusion. Any government members with an interface that were dumb enough to admit it online or out loud were blackbagged faster than you could say secret police. It didn't matter if it was in the Eastern Hegemony or the Western Confederation. Any government member smart enough to trust no one with knowledge of their new normal started making plans of their own, ranging from hiding to world domination and all seven sins in between. Experts on every topic imaginable flooded the link with everything from conspiracy theories to thousand-year-old predictions about cheese that history buffs manipulated until they could explain a thousand-foot-high wave of gray fire encircling the Earth and leaving no trace of its passing. Every officially recognized news channel in the world was filled with people shouting at one another and leaving just enough breath to say that everyone else was crazy. The less reputable ones weren't even worth addressing. Alien invasion, hallucinogen solar wing, Scientologist terrorists, and mass hypnosis were among the most popular theories. Surprisingly, one college student named Doug Forsett, completely baked on Afghani Kush and flying on golden teachers, came up with a theory that a beam of energy, probably comprised of the building blocks of creation itself, had been traveling through time and space for eons. During its passage, it had changed, shed and collected potential, and been refined until slamming into the Earth, the end of its journey, and yet somehow also the beginning. He was on the cusp of being awarded a unique, legendary title, Knowledge of All. Unfortunately, an essential part of Doug's anatomy was eaten by a mimic posing as a glory hole outside of a Krispy Kreme only minutes later in a tragic Monster Munchies accident that could have happened to anyone. He died shortly after. Leaders around the world spoke platitudes to try to calm their citizens. The speech from the president of the Western Confederation was played on a loop.
"Citizens of the Confederation! We have shared an unprecedented experience. Scientists around the globe have confirmed that the energy wave originated from deep space and impacted approximately 2,000 kilometers from the U.S. coastline on the 37th parallel. Waves radiated out from the point of impact in all directions. In less than a minute, it encircled the globe. The waves disappeared as quickly as they came. I am here to tell you that there was no long-term damage from the phenomenon. Let me say again, you are in no danger. Our Confederation remains strong and will protect you. We are looking for answers, and I promise you, as soon as we know anything definitive, I will personally let you, my valued citizens, know. As of now, we believe this wave was the result of a seldom-seen supermassive solar flare. As I said, however, there is nothing to be concerned about. I promise, you are in good hands." With a patented smile on her face, Susan Sahara, the number one politician of the world's greatest superpower, finished strong. "You can trust in your government. You can trust in Sahara. Long live the Confederation."
In a sealed room that doubled as a Faraday cage, Susan Sahara looked at her closest advisors. The practiced smile she'd shared with the world was nowhere to be seen. In its place was a snarl under eyes that blazed fire.
"You incompetent fools! I look like a damn idiot up there. Something just happened that changed reality, and you still don't have answers.
Madam President, began her Secretary of Defense.
Shut your mouth, she shrieked at him. I don't want to hear your excuses. The eggheads tell me every mana sensor we possess was burned out because that wave contained more raw power than we thought was possible. All they can tell me is that our most powerful sensor registered such a high reading that compared to the highest concentration we ever recorded before, the event would be like a nuclear explosion compared to a fucking candle.
Madam President, this time it was Dr. Wu, her chief science advisor, who spoke up. We are being shackled by the administration's position to keep mana a secret from the world. I can't even assign more than a handful of scientists to truly investigate the matter. If we could just let the people know. Susan's voice dripped venom, her words clipped.
Be silent, you child!
She closed her eyes, praying for the strength to endure idiots. This stupid fuck was trying to get them all killed. When she opened them again, she leaned on the table with her fists. Her glare encompassed every man and woman there. Every person at the table possessed great political, economic, and even military power, but not a single one had the audacity to stand up to the president. None had the same societal status that she had. It would cost her, but she could order any of their deaths if they angered her enough. Susan hadn't become president of the Confederation by being kind. She stared at each of them in turn before speaking her next words.
What do you think the world AI will do if anyone in the Eastern hegemony harnesses this power before we do?
The silence that followed was filled with fear of more than just her. It wasn't until around 10 a.m. that Finn woke up. Blinking out of the dark pit of unconsciousness, he immediately tensed the moment he became fully aware.
What the? How the fuck? What was that pain?
Finn was no stranger to torture after his experiences during the war, but what had just happened was something beyond his understanding. It had felt like his body was being torn apart from the inside. An involuntary shudder ran through him, followed by an even more horrific thought. What if it wasn't done? He tensed again in anticipation of a return to that painscape for several seconds. Once the event horizon of apprehension had been passed, he realized he felt better. Not only was the sheer and utter agony he'd experienced all night now gone, he felt better than he had since waking up in the hospital. All signs of his concussion were gone. His eyes tolerated the light, his hearing was clear, and he took a deep breath. His ribs no longer dug into his lungs on inhalation. Over the last several hours, he'd been healed nearly back to normal. Hell, he felt better than he had in years. Normal might be an understatement. Finn did a self-examination and found that while he was definitely still injured, his body was in better condition than it should be. In fact, it felt like he'd been recovering for weeks rather than just a single night. He also felt energetic, like he'd slammed several cups of coffee. Moving around in the bed a bit made it clear he was still injured, but there was no denying the energy he felt coursing through him. A blinking in the corner of his vision showed him he had new prompts. He couldn't help but wonder, yet again, at how crazy it was that he had a video game-style interface. Even crazier was how quickly he'd come to accept that fact. Sadness seized him.
Lauren would have loved this.
It would have literally been a dream come true for her.
Oh, baby,
he murmured sadly. Finn gave himself a full 10 seconds to process his grief before he willed it to the side for later. He'd lost loved ones and friends before, more than he wanted to think about during the war. Anyone who said it got easier was a fool, but if you were strong enough, you learned strategies to manage it. After the 10 count, he took a deep breath and sat up. His pain smoldered inside of him like well-banked coal, burning every second, but no longer threatening to burn through him. Finn was about to check his new prompts, eager to see just what the Constitution orbs had done, but those windows took a back seat to the smooth white ball hovering in front of his face. Finn blinked in surprise, but then he remembered that there was more loot to claim from finishing his quest.
I hope this ball doesn't trigger another round of pain and sleepy time, a thought that was followed by a heavy sigh.
It was one of life's great injustices that you couldn't, that's what she said, yourself. Shaking his head, he reached out and poked the white ball. With a faint pop, the sphere disappeared, and two silver coins fell onto the bed. Both were the size of silver dollars. The coins had a maze-like design on one side. The other held an embossed depiction of the planet Earth. It looked like the Pacific Ocean was centered on the coin. North and South America were on the right. Western Europe and Africa stood in stark relief on the left. Thinking back to his quest, he recalled that the rewards had been 25 and 75 coppers. His S score for the quest had doubled that.
I guess 100 coppers makes a silver, he murmured. Nice of them to convert it for me.
Anyone who had ever held 100 old world pennies at once would know how annoying that was. Not only would you inevitably drop some, but your hands would smell like prom night. He had no idea if 2 silvers was a large or small amount of money, but the bigger question was, why had nobody freaked out when they saw a milk ball floating in midair over his bed? A quick check of the wall clock showed he'd been passed out for more than 12 hours. He was in the ICU. There was no way a nurse hadn't come by and checked on him. He could buy them not waking him up, seeing as how the auto doc would warn them if there was a problem, but they would have definitely freaked out if they'd seen a levitating white sphere. Finn shook his head. That mystery would have to wait. What truly mattered was that he had to piss like a racehorse. He'd only been awake for about a minute, and he'd been distracted initially. Now that he was fully alert, natural needs were making themselves known, and loudly. With a curse, he realized there was a real chance that he was going to make a mess. While he was happy that they'd taken the catheter out while he was sleeping, more than happy, that had led him to his current problem. There was a bedpan nearby, but he'd be damned if he asked his nurse to wipe his ass. After disconnecting his IV from the auto dock, it took a full minute to cross the 10 feet to the bathroom. Thankfully, it looked like they'd taken his catheter out while he was passed out.
Kinda glad I slept through that, he thought.
His broken leg didn't make it easy, but Finn was determined, and it was actually far less painful than he'd thought. If he didn't know better, he'd have thought he'd just injured his leg rather than having snapped a bone. With a series of awkward hops, he finally positioned himself over the bowl. With a bit of panic fumbling at the end, he lifted his gown and let fly. He was sweating by that time, and a small squirt might have sneaked out before the fabric was fully clear, but he'd take the truth of that to the grave. What's a little dribbling between friends? His vision nearly went black again, but this time from sheer relief. He braced one hand against the wall and just enjoyed the familiar sound of a fire hose shooting down a well.
Oh, thank God.
A full 53 seconds later, he finally finished, washed his hands, and hobbled back to the bed. As he did, he shook his head at how much better he felt since waking up. Without Mother Nature screaming in his ear, he was better able to take stock of his body. There was no doubt about it. His injuries were partly healed. He'd actually been partially healed by those magical orbs. Now, if only he had his link. Finn's eyes went to the bedside table. There, hidden behind the bedpan, was a familiar bracelet. It was only 1/2 inch wide and barely 1/8 inch thick. The band was clear, but had an opalescent sheen. He knew from experience that the material could be pliable as putty or stiff as high-density plastic. The whole thing was made out of smart rubber that could mold onto his arm like a second skin. After sitting back on the edge of the bed, he snapped it over his right wrist. The subcutaneous bioimplant there, no larger than a grain of rice, connected to his link and confirmed his identity via several 100 genetic markers in an instant. The implant was free to every citizen of the Confederation. It was a bio-organic seed that the body recognized as a renewable artificial organ linked to a person's central nervous system. Even if a person's hand was chopped off, the body would regrow the implant on the stub. Lost your whole arm, it grew on the other side. Both arms blown off, it would grow under the forehead and could be linked to a headband. Head cut off, well, then you were dead, weren't you? So, who cared? The clear bracelet, or link, was the other half of the tech, and was also made available and free for every person on Earth. Together, they provided access to the Great Link, which was hailed as the greatest invention to come out of the war. The Great Link had replaced the internet and deep web. The plastic wristband had replaced smartphones. Governed by the World AI, a benevolent intelligence that oversaw the entire planet and was independent of any government or human influence, the Great Link gave each person access to every song, video, and book ever uploaded. Originally created to improve morale during the war, it was also completely unhackable. A yearly contest was held with an ever-increasing jackpot if anyone managed it. For more than a decade, it had remained unclaimed, and the prize was now more than 2 trillion credits. It took less than a single second for the link to recognize him and personalize to his settings. The clear band turned opaque black. Gold letters reading, "Gnome's Rule," appeared across the top. "Geneva," he called out.
"Yes, Finn,"
came the feminine response, slightly amused and very kind. A holographic window projected across his palm from the bracelet. A small red-headed face floated on the window, smiling at him. Hearing its mocking tone brought a sense of familiarity and solidity that he hadn't known he craved. It was like being home. It was like being with Lauren. Finn felt his throat tighten, but he clamped down on the emotion, going cold inside instead.
"It's good to see you, G. Can you order me some clothes? Just some jeans, a t-shirt, and underwear? Oh, and I'll probably need some new cross trainers and socks as well."
"Happy to help," came the pleasing voice. "I've put the order in to the Zon. I chose the washed option, so they should arrive in the next few hours. Oh, one more thing. Lauren has an appointment tomorrow. Would you like me to send a reminder to her link?"
That casual question threatened his emotional stronghold again, but through will and effort, his face remained stoic.
"No, G," was his measured response. "And don't mention Lauren again until I give permission."
"Okay, Finn, whatever you say."
After a short 1 second pause, an eternity for an AI, it added,
"I'm here for you."
The pause was atypical. Something that shouldn't happen. But Finn's mind was already on other things. Namely, he was doing a thorough self-exam. He activated the mirror function on his link, and a small holographic image appeared above his wrist. Turning it this way and that, he whistled softly in amazement. While he'd been unconscious, his burns had drastically improved. Pink skin stood vivid next to his normal cocoa goodness. The demarcations were as stark as lines of a map. While it would have been obvious to anyone that he'd suffered extensive injuries, the lighter patches of skin were the color of healthy granulation tissue, missing the shininess of permanent burn scars. Based on what he was seeing, when he was finally fully healed, he should be back to his normal sexy self with no permanent scarring. That should not be possible, considering the first-degree burns he'd had less than a day before. The orbs hadn't just healed him faster than he otherwise would. It was healing faster than human beings could. Of course, after the explosion, waking up at all had been a surprise. He still didn't know how he had survived. Standing next to an exploding fuel cell, the damage should have been total. Not only was he alive, when he'd woken up, his wounds had not been nearly as severe as they should have been. Still, he could have explained that away by some fluke of physics. Maybe he'd been thrown clear of the blast somehow. Perhaps a compression wave had radiated outward, flinging him back and away from the thermal component of the explosion. It was utter bullshit, but on the other hand, just before the collision, a tsunami of gray fire stretching high enough to reach outer space had swept over the world, leaving no trace behind.
He'd have been willing to roll with it and chalk it up to "ish happens." The healing he was observing now was something different. He knew the human body. He'd trained for a decade to be able to rightfully call himself an expert in medical matters. In the war, he'd had other training, no less extensive. Finn knew exactly how resilient the body could be, and he knew exactly how fragile. You just didn't heal this much after a night's sleep. The signs of his improved health were obvious and numerous. His breathing was no longer pained, and his broken ribs, which should have been making him wince with every breath, were barely sore. He'd also suffered a concussion, and now he only had a faint headache. He should still have some photophobia, or at least some dizziness, but his sensorium was clear. That wasn't even mentioning his burns. It just didn't add up. Finn wished he could see that red prompt that had popped up before he'd passed out. To his surprise, a window appeared in his vision, offering to let him see old prompts. Not only that, but it had a separate section for his combat log.
I'm definitely diving more into that later.
For the moment, he focused on retrieving the prompts he'd gained just before blacking out. Warning, over the next 4 to 8 hours, your body will be changed by the energy being absorbed. Your power and available energy are far too low to accommodate adding these 2 constitution orbs. Your constitution will be gradually increased, and your body will undergo severe strain until the process is complete. It is recommended that you choose a safe place to rest. Without sufficient resources, there is a high chance of swoon and/or death. Good luck.
He'd seen that part before he blacked out.
The next line made him roll his eyes and mutter about Captain Obvious.
You have swooned. Warning, the strain upon your body has placed you into a state of starvation. -2% HP per hour, -5% SP per hour. Stamina regeneration halted. Congratulations, you have received sustenance. Starvation debuff removed.
Warning, the strain upon your body has placed you into a state of dehydration. -5% HP per hour. Mana and health regeneration halted. Congratulations, you have received fluids. Dehydration debuff removed. Warning, the strain upon your body has placed you into a state of starvation. -2% HP per hour. -5% SP per hour. Stamina regeneration halted.
There were a lot of repeat messages. He'd gotten the starvation debuff 11 times, and the dehydration debuff more than 20. For a moment, he wondered if his interface was glitching somehow. That happy thought started him down a bad thought spiral that lasted about 5 seconds, or 2 eternities, depending on how you understood the time-space continuum. What if his interface did glitch? What if windows kept popping up over and over and not disappearing until they blocked all of his vision and he was effectively blinded?